Hello and welcome back to another episode of On Spec. I am your host, Ryan Barath. Well, welcome to the 2021 part of the PGA Tour season, and with that, congratulations to Harris English, who won the Century Tournament of Champions in a playoff against Joachim Niemann. Now, one of the things that was interesting about this playoff was the fact that both players are ping players, and because of that, it actually leads well into the topic of today's show, which is the all-new Ping G425 series, which is also something that I am very excited to finally be talking about today in the true public forum, because this product was released in Australia and Japan and Asia earlier, or I guess late last year, and it wasn't released in Europe and North America until today. And with that, we can finally share all of the information and the technical details about the product, what makes it different from previous generations, and what it can offer to golfers looking to get fit for new gear moving into this season. So with that, again, congratulations to Harris. Speaking of Joachim, he had the full, I believe, G425 woods in the bag. He's got some older irons, but some of the new glide wedges. And overall, it was just, I mean, and even the G410 crossover that Harris hit there on the 18th hole, ridiculously good, led to the playoff. But we're going to get into the gear, because I think that's what you're tuned in to listen to, and it's something that, like I've already mentioned probably a couple times already, because I am very excited to talk about it, the all-new 425 line from top to bottom. So with that, let's start with the drivers and what is new. Now, from a construction standpoint, the new G425s feature turbulators. They feature a CG shifter. They feature rough face technology, which is something that when you increase the face roughness on a driver, what that does is it actually encourages the forgiveness and the MOI and the bulge and roll to work properly. It's one of those old kind of jokes that if you, and it's totally illegal, by the way, if you were to put chapstick or sunscreen or some type of lubricant on your driver face, you're going to reduce spin and the ball is going to fly a lot straighter. But if you miss it, because the driver head is not going to impart as much spin, it is going to end up offline. It's one thing to note when you are trying to, you know, grease up a driver face. Just, you know, just keep that, you know, in the back of your head there if you're going to go out there. If you happen to miss one, you're going to miss really big. So rough face technology allows the bulge and roll to impart more friction. So if you hit one on the toe or hit one lower on the face, it's going to help. The MOI properties are going to essentially increase or work more efficiently with that rough face. And it's also going to help lower spin. It actually works the exact opposite way of what a wedge would do. When you think about what surface roughness does for a wedge, on a glancing blow, you get grab and you get extra spin. But because the ball does not want to actually shift up the club face at all, then you get something where it will actually, you know, spin less compared to a driver of similar performance, obviously not greased up, that is going to potentially spin more because the ball is going to slide up the face. This is an interesting thing when you, I mean, we can go back more, almost a decade now, I would say, when Vijay Singh was a Cleveland staff player, a very well-known Cleveland staff player. And one of the things that he always had on his drivers was full face scoring lines. And I was actually lucky enough to handle a couple of Vijay's personal old Hybor Tour drivers back in the day. And they did. They were very unique. They had the full face score lines on them. And his idea and his understanding was, even just through perception, which would be unbelievable, but you know, he hits a lot of golf balls, we would understand that, that he felt the ball would slide up the face versus stay on the face with a driver without grooves on it. And so Cleveland put those on for him. And it's kind of the same principle. Again, you're imparting more friction from a direct blow, which means you're going to hopefully create less spin, and the MOI of the driver from the heel and toe shots and the bulge and roll is going to act accordingly. So you've got that, if you got the face material, but what is the driver really all about when we talk about the performance and the three models that are included? And like previous drivers, we've got the 425 Max, the LST, and the straight SFT, which is the straight flight technology. Now, they does not have a movable weight CG shifter, But let's break down what all of these drivers are going to do for players. So with the G4 25 Max, you will notice on the back of the driver, and again, before we get to this, I should note, you can check out golfwrx.com for all of the technical specs as far as available lofts and shafts and grips and arcos and everything else that it really goes into these things. I am working from, well, the notes. I wrote the pieces. Let's be straightforward with that. But I want to help explain it. I don't want to sit here and read technical information. That's not what this show is designed to do. It's designed to create some context around it and help with some further understanding. So when you are looking or when you're trying to comprehend maybe what you're trying to figure out what you might need in your bag for this year, or maybe you're helping someone along the way, you can help with this information, which is it is technical, but it's more so from the practical side of what you're going to look at. So with the Max, you have a 26-gram CG shifter. This allows the new driver to not only have a higher MOI than the previous 410, which is still very impressive, but it also allows them to go further than the MOI of the previous 410 Max, which was even before the 400 Max, which before the 410 was still the highest MOI driver, or one of the highest that Ping has ever created from, like, if you think of like a stock configuration. And the Max 425 is these two drivers having a baby. So you've got Max MOI with adjustable CG of the 410. And together with the 26 grams, you'll notice along the back weight track that the weight track doesn't go as far from side to side because that extra mass on the back is so extreme, which is more than 10% of the driver's total head weight. That side-to-side movement, which allows for adjustability of right and left bias in the driver, then you get that same CG location that you got with the 410 with less movement of the Max, and you also get higher MOI. And who wouldn't want that? They've taken the two drivers, they've made them make a baby, and they made them better. And that's what you're getting with the Max. Now, the other thing is, too, if you have a 410 and you've already been completely custom fit and everything is working really well, are you going to see a massive jump in performance? Probably not. They're not even claiming that. That's not the point of this. The point is the fact that if you haven't upgraded in a while and you're looking for something that's going to offer max forgiveness like a previous generation, but also give you the adjustability of the newest one with a higher MOI, you're going to get that with the G4 25 Max. Now let's work our way to the LST. The LST is smaller from a CC wise, so it is not a full 460, I believe it's 445. And with that loss of volume, the driver head has shrunk from front to back. Ping does not like to sacrifice MOI and forgiveness and practicality of the overall strokes gain that a driver can give somebody compared to just like giving extra distance. It's something that they have never compromised on. And you see that with their driver designs. Even when they offer the low spin model, they're not trying to just make it so forward and low center of gravity that the driver becomes unforgiving, because they know that over the course of a round of golf and a season of golf, someone's going to play better when they hit more fairways. And we're talking average golfers here. We're not talking the Bryson effect and the Baum and Gouge and the 48-inch drivers. We are talking average golfers that play on normal golf courses, that hit at regular distances, that are looking for that advantage. And over the course of a period of time, you're going to see strokes gains improved when you hit more fairways and also hit it longer and reduce your dispersion. So the LST is designed to do that. So you have a shorter front to back volume. All the technology is still the same, but the center of gravity, along with the 17-gram CG shifter, which is 9 grams less than the Max, so you're not pushing so much weight towards the rear of the club head, offers 500 to 700 RPMs less than the Max. The big thing with the new 425 series is there is a larger separation between models. So the lower spin model is going to be more lower spin, the LST, than the Max, and then the FST is going to offer even more draw bias. So 500 to 700 RPM less than the Max is a lot. And compared to the previous 410 LST, we're talking roughly 200 to 250 RPM. So those who are really close to optimizing, and that's the driver that works for them, but they're maybe, you know, just sacrificing a little extra spin, you're going to get more performance out of the new 425 LST. And that's what it is. That's the whole point of that driver. is to continue to offer high MOI, lower spin for those higher speed players that need that spin reduction or for players that happen to potentially hit down on it. Now we move to the SFT, which is the straight flight technology. This does not have a movable weight. It has a fixed weight port in the heel. It is heavy. And when you add it up, it also has to do with geometry as well. This is really important. And I think I've mentioned this on the show before. When talking with engineers, one of the things that they love to utilize is something called free technology. It doesn't mean finding a new carbon composite. It doesn't mean finding a new face material. It doesn't mean re-engineering a new hosel. It's about what can we do to the driver that doesn't actually cost us any more money from a design perspective that allows for improvement. And that is one of the top available free technologies is geometry. And by creating a more heel bias weight and putting more weight in the heel, thanks to technology saved from Dragonfly technology in the crown of the driver. And what that means, these are all technical terms from Ping's perspective, but what it does is it means with like any other driver on the market, you're taking weight from around the club head where it's not really needed, where, you know, it's a really low stress area of the club head. It doesn't see a lot of deformation. It doesn't need that extra mass for support. It's not supporting a sliding weight track. It's not supporting a screw-in weight. We can move that around the club head and allow for the center of gravity position that we're really looking for. And we even saw this last week in the release of the PXG 0211 series, which was a value focused product that still offered a lot of technology. And a big part of that was the geometry of the club head and the way they configured the sole. So from just, again, comparing OEMs to OEMs, I'm not saying they're exactly the same at all. And I know people are going to draw comparisons because of designers and all those kind of things. I'm just using it as a reference point from other OEMs. You're going to see it with other stuff this year. I mean, I can't mention those things. But if we talk about the Cobra, right? They've already had the carbon shell. They've understood how that works. So with the Rad, they were able to take extra weight from around the club head and from the carbon and from every other part that they can optimize and create the extra radial weighting to create extra forgiveness and extra ball speed and all those things. So with the SFT, you get that fixed weight. You still get the adjustable hosel, which is fantastic, and the slightly changed head geometry, which offers, drum roll, I don't have sound effects, 25 yards more left, or for a left-handed player, right, just in general, 25 more yards draw bias compared to the max. That is a huge amount. And that's a really cool number when you compare and see it. I've been lucky enough to have the opportunity, thanks to Eric and Paul at Ping, to actually see the Ping Proving Ground, their testing area in Phoenix there, and see the robot work and when the thing hits golf balls and they're testing. And it's an amazing thing to watch a robot hit golf balls because the dispersion is unbelievable. I mean, it's not hitting into a bucket, but it's hitting into a very small blanket area when you compare that to, you know, the downrange distance of, say, 250, 300 and plus yards. That's extremely tight. And when you think of what 25 yards really is for an average golfer between the fairway and the rough, that is insane. So you get that just from the internal center of gravity weighting of the SFT driver. And there you have it. That is the breakdown of the all-new G425 driver line, the Max, the LST, and the SFT. The other thing to note about the LST, which is the low spin version of the driver, is from address, it has a slightly more pear-shaped profile. I think there's been this trend, we saw it with Titleist, with the release of the TSI, that you can optimize through geometry, which I've already talked about, but you still have to make a driver that appeals. And when you put a driver into someone's hands that appeals to that player, they're going to swing it better. And there's no scientific proof behind that, but when you give someone confidence to swing away and you provide a product that's going to offer not just performance, something that they actually want to look at, that's where you're going to see even more gain and also more changeover for players. Because people, it's kind of hard to say, like, you know what you want until you see, you don't know what you want until you see it. So you're willing to settle for something because you don't know that something better is out there. And then you see the new one, you go, oh, crap, that actually looks like way better. And it appeals to my eye, and it's the shape that I'm more used to. But I was able to play the other one, not because it was bad, but just because it offered me the numbers and it offered me the look that I wanted at the time. It's almost in a way, I know it's not exactly the same thing, it's kind of like fashion. And when you think of jeans or you think of shoes, you know, 10 years ago, who would be like, man, chunky dad shoes are really cool. People are like, no, it's not really cool. Now, chunky dad shoes are freaking cool. I might own a pair. I might have owned a pair previous to when they were cool. That's actually not true at all. But I own a couple of pairs now because they're cool and they're in style and, you know, I like the look of them. Whereas before, I probably wouldn't have really enjoyed that look at all. It's kind of like we had matte finish drivers, then we had glossy finish drivers, then we have matte and we have gloss. And some companies choose to go back and forth. Some stick with one or the other just as far as brand recognition goes or comfort or all these different things. But that's also where you get the profile from a dress that players really prefer. And I've talked to people and people asked about it. I said, you know, that's what people are asking for and they're just going to deliver on that. So you got the Max, the LST, and the SFT. Those are the G425 drivers. Now let's talk about the Fairywoods. They have the exact same designations. Now, if you're looking for the loft breakdown and all of them, I said, check out golfdirects.com and I'll be sending all the tweets out. You can follow along at RDSBrath on Twitter and Instagram. And don't forget to follow the show along as well at OnSpecWRX2. So with the G425 Fairywoods, you get the Max, the LST, and the SFT. The Max is going to have the most loft options. The LST only comes in a 3-wood. And then the SFT comes in a number of options as well. The two biggest technologies that Ping is incorporating into the new Fairywoods is, first off, the Miraging Steel Face Wrap, which is also known as a face cup. So they've created the face and they moved the weld away from the face. They used to have an insert in the Fairywoods. Now they've gone away from the insert and created an entire face cup. What that allows them to do is better control the geometry around the face, removing weight, adding weight, and also putting weight further back in the head and lower in certain models or more forward in other models to create better dispersion and also better ball speed. They have resulted, and again, there's not a lot of companies that are talking about the extra ball speed that they're creating in the Fairywoods because they're essentially right to the limit. And Ping is saying that, you know, it's not that we didn't think we could do better. We were doing the best we could with the technology that we thought would work the best at the time. And now we've realized through testing and engineering that this technology is better. And so we can see a measurable result when it comes to the improvement for ball speed, forgiveness, spin, and all those different things. And the models have a very similar idea of the fact that they're going to be further differentiated. Like I said, there's only the LST 3-wood. The Max will come in a number of models, and same with the SFT. They all come with the face wrap, which is a face cup, which is Miraging Steel. It's a very, very strong steel that offers flex, so ball speed, as well as being very strong. So they can go thinner, they can move more weight around. The other thing too, and this is new, and it's new for Ping. I wouldn't say that it's new for other companies, but Ping is going to have their own way of doing it, and that is called spinsistency, which means they've altered, this is going to sound like a familiar story, they've altered the bulge and roll profile of the face of the Fairywoods to lower spin on lower face strikes and also raise the spin on higher shots. This is going to offer more consistency overall across the board. And through player testing at Ping, using the LST model, not only because it is slightly lower spin, but because of the extra ball speed and of the new spinsistency face, which is, again, this is the Ping term, but it's an adjusted bulge and roll on the club face to, again, alter the spin from top to bottom for that spinsistency. That's the Ping term. I realize I'm going to keep using that, but for up to an additional 10 yards of total distance. And that is a lot when you think about what that can offer to players. For a lot of people, and this is why this is important, this is why the whole Fairywood line is important. And if you look at the tour players, they have switched very quickly, almost across the board with the Fairywoods. That doesn't mean that the old ones were bad. That's not what I'm saying at all. because we're talking about incremental improvements here. 1 mile or 1 to 2 mile an hour ball speed, spin, standard deviation shrinking. So depending on the player, you may not see any improvement at all. But for some players that tend to miss higher and lower on the face more often, these are the players that are going to see a greater consistency. And as I talked about in the previous show, are clubs really better? This is really what I'm talking about, is the fact that engineers are going out of their way to prove and show that new clubs are better with new technology. But if you've already been maximized on your equipment, the idea that the newest new thing, when you've been fit properly, you know it's fit properly, you've confirmed your results are going to be exponentially better than the previous stuff, no. Will you potentially find improvement? 100%. And that value that you're going to get with new clubs can definitely be there. I have spent countless hours working demo days with other reps from other companies, working for a specific company, and we played golf together. We hung out and had lunch. Like, this was not a combative environment. If people think that that's what happens at a demo day, it's not. At least that's what I've never ever once experienced that in my entire life when talking with other reps. Hanging out, because people are going to gravitate towards other brands, and your goal is just to showcase your own brand in general. And when people are talking about, you know, what's new and what's this and what's working, certain player profiles are just going to fit into certain equipment. And this is where players will potentially see big gains if you haven't been fit in a while. That's the other thing too, is, you know, we talk about new equipment so much. You're tuned into this podcast. You're probably someone that listens and understands and reads about new equipment and is always looking for information and probably goes out and gets fit or fits yourself based on the information and knowledge that you have, either with access to a launch monitor or just knowing numbers and maybe getting the chance to work with someone once in a while. But there are so many golfers out there that have not upgraded their fairways in a long time, have not upgraded their drivers in a long time, have not upgraded their hybrids or irons, and we're going to get to that in just a short moment here. But those are the players who are going to see these big results when they choose to invest in the equipment that's going to fit them the best. And that's where I think for myself is always to keep that in mind, because, you know, it almost sounds repetitive in some cases, but it's not, because for a lot of people, this is the first time they're hearing that. And if you go out and you were to go hit these new fairways and you haven't hit anything since the G2 fairway, you're going to just have your freaking socks blown off because of the amount of technology and forgiveness and all the stuff that these clubs offer. The other part too is geometry. The LST is more pear-shaped than the previous generation, and the SFT has a little bit more of that heel bias. The hybrids, from a technology standpoint, they have the exact same as the fairway woods. And I should mention the fairway woods and hybrids have the adjustable weight for swing weight or any extra adjustability if you want to play short or long. So just keep that in mind when you see that. Obviously, I haven't mentioned it yet, but that's something to very much keep in mind. But the hybrids have the adjustable hosel, which I mentioned before in the G410, allows for flatter lies. So for those faster players or players that tend to hook hybrids, this is your chance, folks, right here, to go a little bit shorter, add that extra weight in the head, and flatten that puppy out to offer that potentially left-to-right ball flight. I'm talking about a right-handed golfer here. So you get face ramp with the all-new hybrids, which offers the same thing, is additional ball speed and higher MOI because of the ability to alter the internal structure of the hybrid. Then you have the same spinsistency adjusted bulge and roll to create some consistency in spin from top to bottom. Just like with last week's show, I'm going to convey the message like I just did a moment ago. For players that play blades and want that top to bottom variability or heel to toe variability, you know, you're going to continue to want that. But for those players who want and the ability to move a golf ball from right to left and high and low and hit these like different shots, you're going to get that. But for, you know, 99.9% of players that are looking for forgiveness, that are looking to lower their dispersion and shrink their dispersion, this is what you get with technology. And the spinsistency adjusted bulge and roll on the hybrids are going to offer the exact same thing as the fairway woods. So keep that in mind when you are out looking, because you know, you hit a thin hybrid and it doesn't really get up in the air very much. and it stopped short of the green because it just had too much spin, it ballooned or whatever. Or you hit one higher on the face and it just gets really high up and it doesn't have the spin, doesn't carry quite the distance that you want. In both scenarios, you're not really hitting it at your target. Well, now you're going to see a noticeable, measurable difference when you go out and hit shots and compare them. And, you know, there's a measurable distance or measurable difference, sorry, between the previous model. So if you haven't been fit in years for a new hybrid, this is probably a really good chance, especially if you're a Ping fan, to go out and check this thing out. Last but not least, when it comes to the hollow golf clubs for Ping, is the all new crossover. Now, speaking of Harris English, he smoked his 410 crossover very efficiently on the 18th hole at the Tournament of Champions there to get himself into the playoff. Ridiculous. Smoked that thing. He's a flusher, right? He hits the golf ball real good. But if you are someone who doesn't really like a hybrid, but you want something that's going to offer essentially hybrid ball speed and more of that iron look, then the crossover is for you. And the G425 does something that the i500s did before it, and what the new irons also do, which we're going to get into shortly here, and that is offer greater face flex and the ability to create more consistency from right to left and high and low on the club face. So many times when people think about forgiveness, they're just thinking of right and left. So you hit one off the toe, you hit one off the heel. That's totally fine. But what people fail to think about very often is the high and low forgiveness on a golf club. And this applies to wedges, irons, every golf club in your bag, even a putter in some cases, depending on how poorly you mishit it. But when you think about what happens with an iron and you hit it really low and you see that, you know, everyone used to say thin to win. But with modern irons and the lower center of gravity, you're going to hit it low, you're going to hit it with more spin, and it's not really the ideal way to miss a shot. Now, there's a difference between hitting it a little too high and hitting it really fat and high on the club face. That's not what I'm talking about here. But when talking to a number of engineers from a lot of different manufacturers and OEMs, they say, you know, the old thin to win adage doesn't work because you can miss it higher on the club face. You're going to get more of the forgiveness from the high low on the club face, especially when it comes to irons, and you're going to get more carry, which means for most players, that's where, you know, if you're hitting over water, you're hitting over hazard, that's where the forgiveness really comes into play. So if you're going to miss it to the middle to higher on the club face rather than lower. That is not my own personal take. I'm taking this from the engineers and from through their player testing and through their actual testing results. And you know, I've come to realize that one of the irons that I had the chance to get fit for, I guess it would have been last year, year before. I'm trying to think. Either way, it's a blur. We're in 2021. But when I got fit for the T100s and going through that process, the ability to hit shots and see what happens and be on a launch monitor and be out on a pristine range, which is not something that I have access to all the time, as much as it may come as a shock and surprise, that being able to do that and compare golf clubs and to, you know, intentionally hit shots thin versus higher on the club face and see the results, it certainly speaks to me that that is definitely the way to go. It's kind of like with a driver. I'd rather hit a higher launching, lower spinning drive than one that, you know, if I'm trying to just hit a stock drive, stock in air quotes here, there's no such thing with my golf game at the moment or at all. But when you are doing that, the crossover offers that kind of forgiveness high and low, which for a lot of people who are looking at this club in this category is where they're generally going to miss. They're not so much missing so like on the heel and toe, because it is, if you're looking for maximum forgiveness, you're probably going to be looking for hybrid anyways. So with Chase, the crossover is a specialty golf club, but that is the summary of what that is going to offer with the hot club face, with the VFT style, like variable face thickness of a fairway wood or driver. So you get that extra ball speed. And there's been a little bit of an acoustic tuning as well, plus the looks. I know people always talk about the crossover kind of looks like a swollen thumb. And that's fine, because it is a specialty product. If you're looking for something that looks a lot smaller, you're probably going to be looking for the i500 anyways in a combo set. And then you're going to look at the hybrids, or maybe you're just going to go straight to a fairway. There's categories of players for every single model, and I'm not trying to single out, because you've got the Glide Forge. They're a lot smaller. Is someone looking for a game improvement wedge going to gravitate towards that? Probably not. But if you're looking for something that is a little bit game improvement, but also offers all of the other technologies that you're going to get as far as spin and face roughness and hydro pearl and what is it? Scared of water, the hydrophobic. There you go. I got it. The hydrophobic finish, you're going to get that as well with something like the Glide I2 style, right? A little bit more forgiveness there. So just keep that in mind. Not every single club is designed for the same player, which is why in the Drivers and Fairywoods, they have the Max LST and SFT models. They have the single hybrid. They've got the crossover. And now, let's talk about the irons. And this is not a technology revolution, but it's an evolution. And it's important to keep this in mind. Because everything that I've talked about recently has not led up to this launch. It's led up to launches this year, because it's very important to keep this in mind, because golf is growing rapidly in popularity as far as playing. And what that also means is you're getting new players and lapsed players coming back to the game. And for a lot of people, they're used to looking at certain golf clubs or certain styles or certain sizes. And with the G425, just like with the previous 410, what they've done is they've been able to increase the forgiveness of the iron. They've raised the MOI. I think the number is like 5 or 6%, which when you think about from a percentage standpoint is quite good. When we're talking about the game improvement category, that is maximizing forgiveness, and engineers are throwing everything they got at it within a certain price range or category, whatever it happens to be. So with that iron, they've got a new Metalwood VFT. If you want to get a picture of this, check out golfwrx.com. Head there, look it up. You're going to get all the information. You're going to get more of the inside, the head, behind the scenes, kind of technical stuff. Like the real technical info is going to be at the site there. This is more of the, again, as I said, the practical explanation. Now, before I get to the rest of the irons, I want to mention, because I've mentioned the 410s already, I've mentioned the 400s, I've mentioned other drivers here from the past. If you are looking for used equipment, there is no better place online than checking out golfavenue.ca. And if you go to golfdirects.com/golfavenue, you're going to find information on the trade-in program that allows you to get extra value on your trade-ins, as well as getting extra value on the back end when you are buying used equipment from Golf Avenue. I've said this and I will continue to say this. I was a customer of Golf Avenue before Golf WRX because I love being able to buy used equipment that I could see the picture of online. There's too many websites out there that just give a representational image. I don't like that. And as someone who looks for, you know, not just last year's generation or the generation before, when I'm really digging through inventory of used clubs, I look for those little hidden gems when it comes to fairways that are like less than $50 or old funky hybrids. Those are the kind of things that I love looking for, and being able to find that kind of stuff for me on Golf Avenue is great because it not only offers great value, but I also get the image of what I'm actually buying. So I have the confidence of what I'm seeing online is what's going to show up at my door. And you get the same reliability when you're buying newer stuff as well. I'm just talking about my own personal experience. But again, if you're looking to trade in or buy new used clubs or just new clubs, check out golfavenue.ca and golfwrx.com/golfavenue. So there you go. I'm gonna pat myself on the back for that one because I did not mean to get, I totally forgot to talk about that a little bit earlier in the show. I do this all live. I've got my notes. You know what's happening. But as far as being able to do that, I'm just gonna say that was really good transition there. So talking about the G425s and the 410s, and they did the same with the Blueprint. They've eliminated the custom tuning port in the back of the head. It was a staple in Ping irons because what it did was it softened vibration and it allowed them to locate the center of gravity behind the sweet spot. When you use tip weights, and this is something that I've talked about a lot of times when it comes to club building, after a certain point, you're going to start moving the center of gravity closer to the heel. Is it noticeable from a human perspective? I don't believe so. Is it noticeable from a engineering perspective? Yes, it starts to happen. And if you get to a real point where you're getting a lot of weight into that hosel, then in some cases, some very good feel players are going to start to notice that, you know, there's something doesn't feel quite right about this. So with the custom tuning port, they completely eliminated that. And they've eliminated it for years. They started with the I3. It was right behind the sweet spot. They could reduce or increase the weight, but at the sacrifice of MOI, because what they've done is, you know, the head weights are a little lighter, so they put more weight in the middle. With the G410, they eliminated that, and the Blueprint as well, because they didn't use a tip weight. They had the hosel weight and the toe weight. So to explain this very quickly, let's say you've got an iron head. It's a 7-iron. It's got to get to 270 grams. The iron head before assembly weighs 262 grams. Maybe it's a slightly under length club. You should get to 270. So we're talking 8 grams of head weight to get it up. Most traditional manufacturing processes would just say, okay, throw an 8-gram tip weight in there, going to get it up to spec, totally fine. Not going to worry one single bit. And again, from a practical standpoint, not a big deal. But Ping is always a company that is really focused on engineering. So what they did was they said, well, why don't we just, and we've seen, actually, the Rad did this as well. The new Rad iron did this. So I should mention that they've done this. They've adopted this style of weighting in the toe and in the hosel. But the Ping engineers were the ones, the first to do it with the, I think it was the Blueprint or the 410. I think one of those came first. And so it needs 8 grams. Well, let's put 4 in the hosel and 4 out on the toe. So we haven't put it in the middle. We've moved it out to the extremes of the golf club. We've bumped MOI just by adding the weight on the heel and toe. And to continue with the feel, with like the Blueprint, it's a solid piece of steel. They've not just done the metal wood style VFT, which is the variable face thickness, which will help add ball speed, but they've also used a different style badge, which will increase the feel, keep the feel, the softer feel that you would expect from an iron within this category, but have it still increase the MOI. You're not sacrificing that, and that's what they've done with this new iron. And they've done it in a smaller package, which for most players, I think if you give them the opportunity to say, okay, you can play these two golf clubs, one is really big, but it offers a ton of forgiveness. This one is a little bit smaller. It offers actually more forgiveness than the big one, but it's a little more versatile because of the sole shape and the blade length and all these different things. Which one would you pick? Most people are going to go with the smaller one. I would say more than 95% of players are probably going to pick the smaller one. And that is why, and that is the role of the G425 iron. And there it is. That's the entire all new Ping G425 series, broken down from a practical standpoint. So again, talking about the drivers, you've got the Max, the LST, and the SFT, all designed for three different players. The bulk is going to be the Max. The lower spin, higher speed players are generally going to gravitate towards the LST. And those players looking for fade reduction, SFT is right up your alley. Exact same thing carries forward into the fairway woods, which do not offer center of gravity relocation, but they still offer the adjustable hosels. The LST only comes in a 3-wood, and you also get the new face wrap, which is a cup face design, as well as the adjusted bulge and roll. Same technology in the hybrids. Crossovers, very similar design to the irons, except it's hollow, and you get more flex higher on the face to create that kind of diving board effect. More ball speed, higher launch, easier to stop. That's what you want in your long iron replacements. And the irons, smaller shape, higher MOI, who doesn't want that? More forgiveness, they feel better. That's what the entire line is designed to do, and it goes all the way down to a lob wedge. So if you're not even looking at the wedges and you just want something to match all the way through, you're going to get that with the all-new G425 series. So if you're looking for more information on this, as well as all of the specs as far as loft availability and everything else, go to golfwrx.com, check it out. It will be on the front page as of today, Monday. And if you're looking for more information or you have any questions, reach out at RDSBrath on Twitter and Instagram, as well as you can follow the show along at OnSpecWRX as well. To those that have followed along to this point, I'm going to say two things. This week's question and answer will continue once again. I am debating if I will continue to do the Instagram story style, or I'm going to do a live like I did a couple weeks ago, where I just answer questions as people are following along. It is a more condensed format, but I can save it so those who are asking questions can follow along. And I might do a little bit of a tour of my build shop, because I haven't done that in a while. So stay tuned for that. And the other part of this too is, if you've gotten this far, my email is Ryan, R-Y-A-N, .Barath, B-A-R-A-T-H, at golfwrx.com. Always excited to listen to your feedback, answer your questions. If you like the show, remember to rate it on wherever you listen to, because it always helps, hopefully, bringing more people in the show. And educating, which is always the point. So there you go. That's the new line breakdown. As always, I'm Ryan Brath, and thanks for listening. Thank you.